blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God's favor is worth more. Listen, a meal barrel, blessed of God, that's how that works. It's his favor. He can. I'd rather have a meal barrel under God's blessing that had only enough for one meal left than to have a full one that can get bugs in it. Amen. A full one that a thief can steal. A full one that can go empty. Amen. An empty one. Almost empty one. One cup of meal left in it sustained. Amen. A prophet, a lady, and her son for 3 years. Isn't that incredible? Four amens, and everybody's kind of waiting to see what else is going to happen. Amen. I'm telling you, to me, that is absolutely incredible. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I knew you could. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not leaving. Don't you go nowhere. Hallelujah. Somebody done got the blessing trying to take off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's more to come. If you'll turn with me in your Bible, the Lord began this. I had to go in and mark the scripture so that we could read it together. I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want to minister for a little while on what kind of love is this. I'm going to try to describe the indescribable. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the Bible said what I'm about to try to describe to you to answer the question, what kind of love is this, is indescribable. If you can mentally comprehend it, you'll never get it. If I can fully describe it, it isn't what I'm trying to describe.
Yeah.
Amen? It's a love, the Scripture said, that passes knowledge. Yeah. That means if the Holy Spirit doesn't show it to you, you'll never see it. If we just connect intellectually this morning, you won't get it. Everybody go like this. That's where this message is going to go. It's going to go right over your head. Amen. You're going to try to process it in your mind. We've got a saying today that I can't get my mind wrapped around that. Amen. Well, you can't wrap your mind around something as glorious and as infinite and as divine as this is. If we can relate it to sentimental stories. There are stories about animals that just make me choke up because I love animals. I used to love people enough to choke up, but I still love people. Listen, I can't even love people without divine love. I can't, because people are flawed. You can't love me consistently without God's love in your heart. Amen. It takes that kind of love. This love that we're going to talk about, the Bible said, is a love that passes knowledge. And it's not something you just comprehend or spiritually see. It's something that you begin to experience in your life. Yeah. The Bible said of God's love that it only comes to you one way. It is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That means if the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest it to you, you're never going to sense it. It's not something you just give a mental assent to, or you acquiesce. Yeah, that's right. That's true. We want more than a mental assent today. We want people to actually begin to get close enough to God that you experience the love that is beyond knowledge. In other words, you can't know it except God reveal it to you. And God can't reveal it to you just to your mind. He has to shed it abroad in your heart. Everybody say, shed it abroad. Shed. How many's ever seen one of those rainbird that waters your whole yard and saturates it? It gets going. Rainbird has these things that go ch. That's what the word shed abroad means in the Greek, or the term. It means that it just saturates you with it. Praise God. Amen. It is a sustaining force of Paul's life. If it wasn't for the love of God, his faith wouldn't have continued to work under the circumstances that he was in. Something had to undergird or be foundational for his faith. And it was nothing less than the love of God. So I want to, everybody say, what kind of love is this? Does anybody know the rest of that song? What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? See, the church quit jumping and shouting over the love of God. The only thing that used to make Pentecostals jump and shout was the power of God. Amen. when we got a manifestation of His presence and we felt that awesome power, we begin to jump and shout. But when we go through our trials, I'm going to tell you something. What God offers you in the time of trial is not His power initially, but His person.
Hallelujah.
He said, I'm with thee. When you go through the fire, don't look for power, look for a person.
Amen.
Can you say amen? You don't fall in love with the power, and you don't feel love from power, but you do feel love from a person. And when you go through the fire, amen, it will not kindle on thee because my power. No, because I, the person, I am with you. Can you say amen? When you go through the waters, they will not overflow you because I am with you. He told His disciples, and lo, I am with you always. That meant when Paul was getting ready to lay down his life for the sake of the gospel, God was there with him. And God's love was undergirding him. And he said, this force is so powerful, it is so strong, it is so mighty. The force of it, the person grants it, but the force of that love. He said, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing, amen, can make me believe for one moment that God doesn't love me. And that was coming from a man that didn't get in a limousine and go to his penthouse. Can you say amen after he preached? Many times after he preached, he was strapped to a whipping post and given 39 stripes. In other words, beat to within an inch of his life. He said, that cannot separate me. It cannot make me doubt for one moment that God loves me. Amen. One of the things that the devil wants to happen when you go through a trial, amen, and God delays the answer and going to take you through instead of take you from, is that he's going to try to convince you that somehow or another God's love for you has not been as strong as it is for this person or that person or this person. And I want you to know something today. God has no stepchildren. Can you say amen? You're either a son of God or you're not saved. But if you are saved, you're a son of God. And if you're a son of God, the Bible said you're an heir of God. And if you're an heir of God, then you're a joint heir with Jesus. And that's not just talking about getting all His stuff. That's talking about the Father accepting you in the Beloved and loving you like He loves His Son.
Amen.
Most incredible. You talk about getting your mind around something. I can't even think to get my mind around this, but by faith I accept it because it's God's Word. Jesus prayed in John 17 to the Father, and this is what He prayed. He said, Father, for all those that believe on my name. He said, you know how you love me? He said, I want you to love them with the same love wherewith you love me. I'm not worthy to be loved like Jesus because I'm not as lovable as Jesus. Can you say amen? I got a news flash for you. Amen. I'm not as lovable as Jesus. I got a second news flash for you. Neither are you. Can you say amen? Neither is anybody that's part of Adam's fallen race that has to deal with this old weak flesh. Can you say amen? But Jesus said, I want you to look past all of that. And I want you to see my blood sacrifice. And I want you to not just forgive their sins, but bring them in to our royal family. And when they get in our royal family, I don't want you to treat them as stepchildren. I want you to treat them just like you treat me. Not that we become divine, but with the same favor and the same love. Can you say amen? Jesus said, Father, I want you to love them with the same love. This guy here knows he don't deserve that. And he don't know a whole lot about me. What he does know, he knows nobody on this planet deserves that. Billy Graham doesn't deserve that. Oral Roberts didn't deserve that. Nobody deserves that. What manner of love is this? That we might not just be saved and our sins forgiven and Jesus go to the cross, but that we would become the sons of God. That He would bring us into His royal family. Can you say amen? What manner of love? What kind of love is this? David Hobbs is in a quartet. He gave me his card. I never looked at the name of the quartet. But it's kind of neat. I just felt the card today. So I looked at the name of the quartet. The King's Royal Heirs. Hey, pretty neat. That's called confirmation. I'm in there pondering the message, marking what manner of love is this. They, amen, and thinking about being heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. And I pull this out and says, the king's royal heirs. I thought, that ain't David's card. Come on, this thing is copyrighted already. Amen. He could get in trouble. You know why? Because we're all, every Christian in this room is the king's royal heirs. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So I see a class action coming. Call David and tell him there's a class action coming. Hallelujah. All the Christians are going to sue you. Because this is copyrighted. This is for every believer. Praise God. You can't name your quartet the king's heirs. Well, I guess you can because they're believers too. We'd lose it in court. Judge Judy would throw it out. Can you say amen? There's no doubt about it. Hallelujah. Amen. But I thought that was kind of neat. The king's royal heirs. Praise God. Amen. Listen, what manner of love is this? What manner of love is this? Chapter 3, 1 John. Behold, what manner of love is this? That the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be sinners saved by grace. No, that we should be sinners who have been saved by grace, but we would be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because they knew Him not. They don't get it. They don't understand. They don't understand the source of our joy if we have that joy. What kind of love is this that makes us want to what? Go to church and watch the preacher and go home and have a long face just like the world. No, what kind of love is this that makes us want to jump and shout? What kind of love is this that transforms our lives, turns our whole life inside out, makes us want to sell out to God and serve Jesus with everything we are and everything we have? They don't get it. They don't get it. They would come to me when I worked for 12 years for Superbrand. They would come to me and they'd offer me these great jobs with pay ratings that would allow us to live in a bigger home and drive a better car. Everybody say bigger home, better car. What's wrong with that? Nothing, except it would take me out of God's house, take me out of God's ministry. I'd have a bigger home and a better car, but I wouldn't be here on Sunday. I'd be wore out if I was here, stressed out. So I turned them down. And they didn't get it. They don't know us because they don't know Him and they don't get it. And some of them go to church and they still didn't get it. They don't get it. Amen. So they went to my foreman and they said, why? Why does Rev keep turning down these opportunities? Number one, where's his loyalty to the company? Amen? We need him to do these jobs, and he's very responsible, and we know he can handle it, and he'll make more money, and he can take better care of his family. Honey, the best thing I can do for my family is put God first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That old meal barrel that don't go empty is what you need. You keep trying to keep a full one. I think America's found out you can't keep your meal barrel full, but if you got one under God's blessing, it just won't go empty. Praise God. It'll look like it's going empty, but it won't go empty. Hallelujah. God will make a way. God will. Oh, that's not in the Bible. I think it ought to be. It's a biblical substantiated statement. It's not a scripture. Cleanliness next to godliness is not a scripture. Amen. God will make a way where there seemed to be no way. Is not a scripture, but boy, it is scriptural to say that, isn't it? Amen. Because He parted the Red Sea when there was, He brought water out of the flinty rock. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He keeps His covenant of love, covenant of love, covenant of love to 1,000 generations. He didn't just covenant to bless, He covenanted to love. He said, oh, you didn't hear me. He covenanted to love those people. And the blessing was a result of covenant love, not just a promise to bless. You know what He told him? He said, I'm not blessing you. I'm not loving you and blessing you because you're more in number, but because I made a covenant with Abraham. Therefore, I have what? Committed myself to bless you. No, set my love on you. Everybody say, He set His love on us. Oh, glory. Oh, no, that's not jumping and shouting yet. He set his love. He set his love. You know what setting his love means? It means you can't do anything to make him quit loving you. If you can, it's not set on you. It's variable. But my Bible said every good, because of that kind of love, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither a shadow of turning. When God sets himself, he sets himself. Jesus set his face like a flint to go to the cross, and there was nothing that could turn him back. Can you say amen? When God sets his love, it's the same way. Can he bless you if you're disobedient? No. Will he bless you if you become obedient? Yes. Can he bless you when you leave the Father's house and go out and live in rebellion? No. Will he bless you if you come home? Yes. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Does he quit loving you when he quits blessing you? No. Hallelujah. He will love you if you never love him back. And if you go to hell, you'll go to hell loved of God. Amen? God loves you. He told ancient Israel, why did he choose them? He said, you're not more in number. And he said, you're not so lovable either. Newsflash. You're a stiff-necked people. I picked a hard-headed, hard-hearted people to love. You know why? Because it's easy to love sweet, lovable, responsive people. It's more difficult. It takes something stronger to love people that are hard-headed and hard-hearted. Can you say, man? And God said, if I want to show you my love, I'm going to pick the hard bunch to show it to you in. I'm going to pick the hard cases. Can you say, man? I have not loved you because you were more in number, because you had something that merits it, but I've loved you because I made a covenant with your father Abraham, and I have set my love upon you. Can you say, man? Glory be to God. Watch that. Paul knew, amen, none of these immediate circumstances changed that, and it became the powerful event in his life. Listen, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the sinners saved by grace. No, the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knoweth him not. I worked with a man who was the head deacon at a Black Baptist church in Plant City that I've ministered at twice, and earned a doctor's degree there. Because it's such a big, they built a couple of $1 million sanctuary recently, and when you go in that big church like that, and when preachers come there in this big church to preach, you know, that is so wonderful. They just a regular, everyday guy like me, you know, they wanted to hear me preach, but they wanted me to bring some credentials. So they gave me they didn't give me a paper. They just, when they asked about me coming back to preach, they said, when is Dr. Venable coming back? Because now if Dr. Venable comes, that means I have a doctor's, is it doctor of divinity, doctor of theology? Lots of things, yeah. Yeah, I used to know a preacher that had one of those. He had the actual framed, documented proof that he had went through a theological training, and he had a DD after his name, and which probably doctor of divinity. Yeah, doctor of divinity way back in the day. Doctor's degree in divinity. And he had it. And he had it framed. And he had it packed under a whole bunch of stuff. And he pulled it out one day and showed it to me. And it said, so-and-so, DD. And I said, wow, you got a doctor's degree? He said, yeah, but that don't mean nothing. He said, I used to put a lot of stock in this until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, when anyone sees DD, he said, they say, oh, you've got a doctor's degree. He said, no, that means devil destroyer. I like that. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't depend on our theology alone to communicate the love of God. It only comes one way, by the Holy Spirit. God wants to love you. And God wants you to be a recipient of that love. And God wants you to quit trying to earn that love. And God wants you to serve Him, amen, out with your whole heart because you're loved unconditionally. You couldn't earn that love if you were in church every Sunday, listened to every word, and fulfilled it to the letter. You couldn't be loved more than the person over here that is struggling with the flesh and struggling with sin and struggling with temptation. The love is the same because this is not something you can earn. You don't get brownie points. You get blessings, but you don't get brownie points. Amen. Oh, you didn't hear me. You get blessed for doing right. Chastened for doing wrong, even judged if you continue in rebellion. But as far as God's heart upon you, it's set upon you. For God so what? Loved the world. That He did what? Gave His own. Not just gave Him to come here to save us, but gave Him as a sacrifice lamb. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've ever had any kids, if you've got a perfectly innocent son that is going to be tortured to death, and he's going to call out to the Father and say, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" It takes a lot of love to not answer that cry. Amen. And say, "Because I love the world so much, I will. The Bible said, when it said it pleased the Father for him to do that, it didn't mean that God said, "I like what I'm seeing." Because he had, many scholars say that when he became sin for us in type, amen, and God was going to treat him as a sinner, he couldn't comfort him on the cross. He didn't die comforted of God. He died as a man without God and without hope. And he said, "Father." Remember when he was in Pilate's hall and everybody else forsook him? What did he say? He said, "My Father's always with me. As long as I feel His warm love and embrace, I can face anything." But when they nailed Him on that cross and nailed our sins to it in type and foreshadow. Listen, when they did that, in reality, really not in type, but in reality, spiritually transferring our sins to Him, He cried, "Eloi! Eloi! Lama sabachthani! My God, Eloi, Elohim, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So he had to die without God's comfort. But not one of us will die that way. Can you say, man, so that not one of us will die that way? He said, "I'm with you all the way. Even to the end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." That's love language. That's love commitment. That's a bond of love that's stronger than death. Can you say, man, never leave you, never forsake you, but I'll go with you all the way. They were taking all the crippled kids to the gas chamber, all those that couldn't work. The mother, this is a true story because someone who knew the mother and the child during the Nazi persecutions came back to tell the story. True story. All the kids and this young man, he was 12 years old. He had some kind of a clubbed foot situation. And his mother was in the line to go work in a factory. He was in the line to go be gassed because he couldn't work. And she saw that line moving toward the gas chamber. She was home free. She was ready to go to the work camp. He's going to the death camp. She broke out of her line. Nobody does that. Nobody breaks out of the line where you're going to live and go get in the line where you know you're going to die. She broke out of the line and she ran over and grabbed him and he hugged her. And she pulled him as close as she could to herself. And together they inched their way. And the guard who saw it let it happen because he saw a demonstration of love. Amen. In a camp where there was no love, where there was only hate and murder, he saw a demonstration of self-sacrificing love. If my child is going to the death chamber, he's not, and I can't keep him from dying, but I can give him my arms and I can hold him to my bosom. Can you say amen? And he won't die without my comfort. Can you say amen? And you know what, God, that everybody say that's love language. Can you say, I don't mean just the words. I'm talking about the act. Can you say, man? Listen, when you look at this cross, this is love language. Can you say, man? Love like the world has never known and will never know. And it says they don't understand you. They don't get you. They don't know why you love him back. They don't know why you go to church. They don't know why you put the kingdom above money and riches and earthly pleasure. They don't understand self-sacrificing love. All they understand is self-indulgence. That's what runs this planet. It's a greed-driven thing. And together they went in and together they died. Her nestling him. But on the cross, Jesus had no one to comfort him. He died as a sinner, apart from God's comfort, lost, hopeless. That's how he died. He wasn't lost. He wasn't hopeless. He knew what was going to happen in 3 days. Tear down this temple 3 days. I'll bring it back. Can you say, man? And he did. But what he did on the cross for us was not just to keep us from going to hell. It was to bring us into a relationship with God that was intimate and personal, where he would love you. And Jesus said, love them. Father, you know how you love me and I love you? I want you to love them with the same. Everybody say the same. Now, if I've got a child here and I've got a stepchild here and I'm really loving to the child and really strict with the stepchild, then it's not the same love. The degree of love is different. But if I love them both equally, amen. I remember one story of a little boy that found out when he was 6 years old that he was a stepchild. And he mentioned it to somebody who told somebody, and it got around the school. And kids began to say, ha ha, that's not your real daddy. You were adopted. And he said, yeah, I was adopted. I liked his attitude. He said, that's right. He said, I was adopted. He said, your daddy is stuck with you. My daddy picked me out. Can you? I like that. Feels kind of good to be picked out. God said, I want you for mine. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If y'all got married and had children, whatever you got, you're stuck with them. But if you go down to the orphanage and pick one out, he said, in other words, I feel more loved than ever, praise God, because my daddy and my mama picked me out when I was a baby and brought me home and made me theirs. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My wife, her only daddy she ever knew was not her real daddy, but she knew her stepdaddy. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no doubt, amen, that Frank Parker doesn't make any difference between Pamela or Valerie or Carl. Those are his kids. They have always been his kids. Can you say, man? He adopted her, gave her his name. Amen. And before he gave her his name, he gave her his heart. Can you say, man? So she's not a daughter in name only. But let me tell you something about adoption. Adoption is such a strong legal thing, amen, that if you are adopted, amen, you are absolutely an heir, no if, and, but, or maybe. Amen. Praise God. Listen, somebody might contest that you're a genuine child of your mom and daddy. And the only way you can prove that you're not is to go have a blood test. I mean, that you are. Amen? I mean, they can tell you you're theirs, but if someone said, but oh, no, they're not really an heir, I contest that. That can be contested. Let me tell you what can't be contested. If you're adopted. If you're adopted, there's no contest. You have the perfect legal right of a bona fide child. It has nothing to do with your DNA, but everything to do with your parents wanting you to be theirs 100%. And the Bible said the spirit of adoption in our heart, the Holy Ghost bears witness, cries, Abba, Father. Can you say amen? Who am I? What manner of love is this that I could use the language of Jesus in the garden in an intimate relationship with God like only he had? He's the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. Until the cross. And the Bible said through him there would be many sons brought into glory. And Paul said, he looked out at a congregation with those long faces. You know. And you know what he said? What? That's how he started out with an exclamation. Know ye not? Well, clearly we don't get it. Because if we got it, there would be no reason to be downcast. What? Know ye not that ye are sinners saved by grace? And you can, no, know ye not that ye are the sons of God? Don't you get it? Don't you know that? The Bible said it doesn't yet appear. It says, listen, and then he said, now, everybody say now. Let's preface it with rat now. Rat now. You know why I say rat now? Because two guys went to get a job. They're filling out an application. You know, but she doesn't. And they're filling out an application. And one of them looked over at the other and said, how do you spell rat? And he said, R-A-T. Why? He said, it asked, when can you go to work? And I'm going to put down rat now. Can you say, hallelujah, I need a job rat now. Rat now. Right now. Where you sit, in your skin, in your seat, in your circumstance. Hallelujah. Now, we, if you're a Christian, you have to be under this banner. We are the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But now, something is very clear, Brother Taylor. There are things that are looking through a glass darkly in their future, but now, I like that. Now, we are the sons of God. And listen, it continues. Hallelujah. And if sons of God, heirs of God. And if heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And what are we the recipient of? What are we receiving that he's receiving? The same love. The same acceptance. Ephesians said, in whom he has made us accepted in the beloved. Can you say amen? He puts you in Christ so that he can... Oh, he that's... Listen, he doesn't just baptize us in water. He baptizes us into Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? He puts us in Jesus so he can accept us with Jesus. Not as Jesus because we're not divine, but with Jesus because he wants us to be in his royal family. Oh, the Bible said that I won't call you. Jesus said, I'm not going to call you servants anymore. For the servant doesn't know what his master doeth. But I'm going to call you, here comes that love language. I'm going to call you friends. Yeah. Can you say amen? In those ancient times, and really if you're smart in these times, how many of you have servants, how many in your household? People, I'm not talking about your husband now. I'm talking about, or your wife for that matter. But how many have maids and you know, all those, nobody? How many's got a dishwasher? I got one too. We take turns. Listen, when they sat down to talk over family business, all the servants were told to leave the room. So they don't know what their Lord does, because that's personal, that's family. Can you say amen? If you have a family meeting and somebody comes in off the street, you got to move on. You can't stay in here. This is the inner circle. This is between us who are blood relatives with one another. Can you say amen? So they knew how that worked. And Jesus said, the servant doesn't know what his Lord does. Why? Because they got to leave the room when you're talking about the personal, intimate things. But I've not called you servants. Even though you serve me, I've not looked at you as mere servants. You've been elevated above that. You've been brought into the family circle. Woo! What kind of love is this that makes me want to what? Oh, don't hesitate to say it. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm just, because, you know, when it comes time, it'll happen on its own, praise God. But I'm going to tell you something. If this don't make you want to, this doesn't trigger something on the inside of you. God wants you to know this. Can you say, man, the devil never wants you to see yourself as who you are in Christ. It is a humbling thing, but it also emboldens your faith at the same time. I am humbled. It blows me away to be called a son of God, but it also picks me up when I'm down and lets me know that when I pray like Jesus prayed. Father, in fact, Abba, Father. Amen. Wow, Everybody say intimacy. See, when we got on the power trip, we got away from our relationship to a person. When we got away from our relationship to a person, we got away from divine love. Amen. It didn't say faith bears all things. It didn't say faith endures all things. It didn't say faith never ends. There is something it did say that about. Love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And love never ends. So follow after faith, hope, and what's top shelf?
Love.
These three. Can you say amen? But the greatest of these, everybody say top shelf, is love. Wow. What kind of love is this? And there are people who think they got it. If you got it, it's going to turn your whole life inside out. Amen. Now, if you just got it up here, it ain't going to make no difference. You're going to miss it. You say, Brother Bimbo, I don't feel worthy of it. Good. You're not. Amen. He said, I didn't pick you, Israel. I didn't pick you to bless, demonstrate my covenant in because you were greater in number. I picked you because I made a covenant with Abraham. And therefore I did what? I committed to bless you. No, I committed to love you. The blessings and outworking of the commitment to love. I set my love. Everybody say, set my love. I set my love upon you. And I'm looking to see if this thing's working. It is working. Okay, I'm going to turn it. Oh, okay. It's working. It's just getting, it's a lot of hot air in here. I don't know where it may be coming from. Terry could make a one-man laugh track for any show on television, especially concerning me. Listen, I can't communicate this to you. You got to get hungry to know God more personally and more precisely. Can you say, man, religion can't give this to you. You leave with that strange, empty feeling that I'm alone in the world. But a relationship with God, you leave feeling like He's with me. We used to sing that song, I have somebody with me, a long life's weary road. I have, oh, now we can't say weary. Well, I'm sorry. Jesus was wearied at Jacob's well. Bible said, and He was and wearied. If He lived in one of these, you can get weary. Can you say amen? Amen. If He's like us, He can get weary in the respect of having to deal with the weakness of His own flesh. And if He can get weary, I can get weary. If Jesus can weep, so can I. Amen. But we don't sorrow as others who have no hope. Can you say amen? Ours is different. We always have hope because He's with us. And it's love language when He says, I will never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. Why? Because He set His love on you. Jesus said, love them like you love me, Father. Love them like you love me. And don't look at them apart from me. He said, Father, John 17, He said, Father, you know how you're in me and I'm in you and we're one with each other. I want them to be in us in that same kind of relationship. That's in John 17. I wouldn't dare preach like this if it wasn't written right there and I could give you the chapter and the verse and tell you Jesus said it first. Can you say amen? I said Jesus said it first. Glory to God. This is powerful to me. Now let's hurry and quit this morning because you can't get all this in one dose. Not in one dose. If you don't acknowledge this, what you're running on will run out. A joy not produced by a loving relationship with God will be a joy that comes when power happens to hit you. And when you're deep in the valley, you'll sit in a church service with the power flowing, but you'll be in a booth of your own, like an isolation booth, because you're so emotionally stimulated by the circumstances that are hurting you, disheartening you. But the love of God is different. It's an undergirding, powerful force. And the Bible said we're to get rooted and grounded in love that we might comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to be filled with all the fullness of God. See, most Pentecostals think when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that was it. No, there's higher heights, deeper depths, and wider widths. And it has to do with the love of God. You are not perfected in love just because you talk in tongues. Can you say amen? You're perfected in love as you grow in the knowledge of your God. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said, oh, that I might know him. And in the actual Greek, it's rendered that I might know him more intimately and more perfectly. Amen. And they that do what? Know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? Because faith worketh by love. Hallelujah. There have been people that have been married for 40 years. A wife worked to put her husband through med school. He becomes a surgeon. They live in a fine house. They've raised their family. Their family is now, and everything they have is because she sacrificed so he could go to school. Now she's being blessed. The family was blessed, but they loved each other. They worked together. And suddenly after 40 years, and it's happening every day, that guy will realize that he's aging and this is his last shot at whatever, you know, and he decides, my children are grown, they've been through college, my wife is well taken care of, and he finds this young woman. And he decides, that's what I want for the rest of my life. And he leaves his wife of all of those years. What was it? Al Gore just did that? How many years were they married? Long time, and she stood behind his pillow. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong. I'm just saying he decided I can walk away. Because man's love doesn't bear all things. God's love does. Can you say amen? Man's love doesn't endure all things. How can Jesus hang on that cross while they're chiding him and taking sick pleasure in his suffering and pray, Father, forgive them? In the pain, it's easy to sit here in a divine moment and say, I could do that. Without divine love in your heart, there's no way you could do that. Not hurting like he was hurting. And somebody taking pleasure in his pain. You're the Son of God, come down. You're the great physician. You say you're a great healer, heal yourself. Stop all that bleeding and blubbering. This gasping man in pain like no one has ever known says, Father, forgive them. What kind of love is this? Can you say, man? What manner? Paul said, I have great revelation, but here's something that stumps me. Here's something that takes me back. When I consider the love of God, what manner of love is this? I never got over it. It never got old to me. It's new. It's fresh. Hallelujah. It's stirring everything within me to love him back. Hallelujah. Amen. Herein is love. 1 John continues to say, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Can you say amen? And gave himself to be a propitiation to satisfy God's holy wrath. Hallelujah, for our sins. What kind of love is this? The average communion service is just that. The average communion service. And the status quo Christian is just that. There's a churchgoer. But loving God enough to sacrifice for him, if it comes to it, to suffer for him. What's bringing them in and packing them in this morning is a self-indulgent message, Sean. Come to God and indulge your flesh. Come to God and indulge yourself. Amen. No, amen. Listen, God speaks always in love language and he expects it back from us in love activity. Can you say, man, his act is supposed to be reciprocated with an act on our part. And there's only one requisite thing to do as a Christian. Amen. The Bible said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, this kind of love expressed in Jesus on the cross as an act, not just as a feeling. God didn't just talk about it. He did it. He took on flesh. He hung on that cross. cross. Can you say amen? And he did it for you and me. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, if you ever get it, if you ever see it, if you ever grasp it, that you would do something in return. Hallelujah. The only right thing, the only requisite thing to do, amen, offer your body, the whole of you, all that you are, all that you have, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Or literally rendered your true spiritual worship. It's easy to sing the songs when a praise team is stimulating you. It's another thing to sing his praise stimulated by the cross. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And to sing it to him, not just sing it with them.
That's right.
Can you say amen? And to sing, oh, David said he'll give me a song in the night. Hallelujah. What shall I render to God for all his benefits unto me? Amen. One little boy that became a great missionary. He was 12 years old when he got saved. He was sitting in the back of the church. He didn't have a penny to his name, not even an allowance, but he loved God. They passed the offering tray. When it came around, he didn't have anything. He took his shoes off. He put the tray down, and he put his foot in the tray. And you know what he was saying to God? He said, Lord, I don't have any money to give you. I don't have any silver or any gold. But I give you me, whatever you want from my life, whatever I can do for you, I'm yours. Hallelujah. God accepted that. Praise God. My daddy rehearsed it with me the other night. Praise the Lord. He rehearsed it with me. He said, when you were born, they came to me and they said, before you were born, they said the baby is turned such a way in the womb that even if we try to take the baby by cesarean section, we're going to jeopardize the mother. There could be bleeding because of something to do with the way I was in the womb. I was the last child my mother could ever have. And she almost didn't have me. And the doctor told him, says, what do you want us to do? Said, we can go ahead and let the baby be born, but the baby will be born stillborn. Or we can take the baby and jeopardize the mother. So we can assure you, guarantee the mother will be all right if we have a stillborn baby. Or we can put the mother in jeopardy and try to save the baby. And the mother said, it's up to him. Dad went into the bathroom. He got down on his knees. And he said, if you'll let my wife be okay and this child live, I give this child to you. Now, it wasn't enough that he gave me to him. I had to give me to him at a point in my life.
That's right.
But the fact that he gave me to him means that he put his hand on me and called me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. So, literally, I was called to preach the gospel just like John the Baptist from my mama's womb. Well, when did you know it? It took a while for me to figure it out. In fact, it took a long time for me to figure that out. But my first grade teacher, Mrs. Branch, a godly woman, she figured it out. Amen. First 6 weeks of school, she called my parents in for a consultation. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I began to rehearse. Amen. What did I think I got away with that she caught me doing? Can you say? Hallelujah. Amen. Was it that gum under my desk? You know, back then that was a big deal. Was it pulling somebody's pigtail, or what was it all about in the first grade? Amen. She called him in, sat him down, and she said, I've never said this to anybody in my life. I'm a school teacher, but she said, I'm also a Christian, and I don't know about y'all, but she said, God has his hand on your son. That didn't mean nothing to me then. Amen. But boy, looking back on it, I said, Lord, thank you for the call of God in my life. My wife was in a beauty shop, and someone was a Church of God, a beautician, was asking her, found out I was a preacher, said, did he go to Bible college? Where did he go to school? She said, no, he didn't go to Bible college. Well, how does he preach? I mean, if you didn't go to school to learn how do you do it?
Holy Ghost.
Holy who? The Holy Ghost? You mean the Holy Ghost is involved in this? You mean a PhD isn't enough? I'm not against studying. Don't get me wrong. The Bible is my book, my study book. Praise God. But without the Holy Ghost, it's just words. Amen. The letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. Can you say amen? The letter without the Spirit can't give you life. The letter with the Spirit can give you life. I love Christian education. If I wasn't so busy for God, I'd go back to school. I'd love to study the Bible and get some more stuff, but I just don't have time now. They could even give me credits. Maybe I am Dr. Venable by now. What's it take, 50 years before they give you one credit towards learning something, experience? They grant some things. Oh, yeah. Yes, I knew it. I knew it. If I could contribute, amen, $100,000 to some university, they might consider giving me an honorary doctor's degree. But since I can't, I don't think that's going to happen. Can you say amen? But I'm not going to quit preaching because of that. And she asked my wife, she said, how did he learn to preach? And she's Church of God, by the way.
Well, she was blonde.
Oh, listen, Dale's blonde. She gets it. Get him after church. Get him. Why do blondes wear shoulder pads? So they don't hurt themselves. See, blonde jokes are all over the place. Can you say amen? I'll tell you something. Listen, crazy is not just a hair color. There's a lot of crazy people. She just didn't get it. She didn't understand. She thought everybody up there with the Bible has been trained to preach. How does your husband do it if he hasn't been trained to do it? She said, well, God called him. God called him. God called. See, God has to do so much of this stuff. Amen. God has to get involved in this. When we talk about the love of God, the Holy Spirit has to show it to you. And not just let you see it by revelation, but by realization. We've known and believed the love that God has for us, because God is not just a powerful force, an impersonal force. God is love. Hallelujah. And it bears all, believes all, endures all, never fails, never ends. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read this real quick for today. Never exhaust this. We'll never exhaust this. 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. And I'm going to read 4 through 7. Charity. Where you see the word charity in 1 Corinthians 13, it means divine love. Agape love. I am told, I can't verify this by study, but I'm told that agape came along during the Christian era. That there was no word in the vocabulary of then or now to describe divine love. Man had never tried to put a descriptive word on divine love until the Christian era. There were other words. Two of the most prominent were philos, which means human love, mother's love, brotherly love. That's why Philadelphia is from that Greek word, philos. And it's a self-sacrificing love. The lady went in the gas chamber with her son because of philos. But God said, as wonderful as that love can become, it is not like mine. Can you say amen? It is not like mine. Mine is beyond that. Mine is way beyond that. The other word is eros, prominent at the time. Erotic love. Actually, you can't hardly put it in there with love because it's a self-indulgent thing. There's nothing wrong with sexual desire, but you need more than that in a marriage. Can you say amen? There has to be something more than just sexual desire. In fact, sexual intimacy should be the result of a real loving relationship. Amen. I heard a preacher preaching the other day on how husbands were to treat their wives, and it convicted me, because there's so much that we need to be doing to show love, not just say love. It's easy to buy the card with the appropriate words, but it's the acts that we do that really communicates the strongest. And he said, and he'd been married 25 years, and I thought, I've been married 48. I've almost doubled that time, and I'm still listening so I can learn. I'm way behind. I got to do some catching up. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, it's what you do for your wife, not just what you say in a card or say with words. It's what you do. He said, when you see she's wore out and you grab the vacuum and you start vacuuming without being asked to, just because you want to help, I see you looking at him. Praise God. Are you putting him on? He does it. See, there's my man right there, my example. Convicting the rest of us. I do help sometimes. I do vacuum. And you know what? Here's what he said. Now, we're all adults, and here the kids are over there. He said, I've been married 25 years, and said every time I vacuum, my wife considers that foreplay. He said, if I do something for her, she's very giving to me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I thought that was kind of neat. I mean, y'all know what that. We're moving right along. Praise God. If you love each other, everything else is going to have its proper place. Can you say amen? Somebody's going to want to love you back. See, that's how that works. You love somebody, they're going to want to love you back. If you just demand love from them without loving them, then it's very difficult sometimes for them to love you back. But see, God loves us and he wants us to love him back. With all of our heart, mind, soul, and body, he not only commands it. It's the first and great commandment is how we're to love God, and it's to love him with everything we are and everything we have. But he doesn't leave it as a cold, demanding command. He loves us first.
Hallelujah.
So that we can love him like that. Hallelujah. Herein is love, not that we loved him initially, but that he loved us and gave his son as an act of supreme sacrifice. That we might love him back. Praise God. And now, everybody say right now, we are the sons of God. It doth not appear what we shall be, but we know what we are and who we are right now. Did I give you the disc? I didn't. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want to get over this right here. You know, I had one of those modern plexiglass pulpits. And Doug, for an Easter service, I believe, it was a special service or something, communion service, he made this cross pulpit right here. You can't even see the back of it here. All you can see is the cross. Hallelujah. And I thought, you know, one reason I like the plexiglass, because, you know, you can see me through it. Not really, I was just kidding. No, I like the place to guess because it was modern. It was modern and update. And this is great for communion. And I think we used it for communion, set it over in the corner, put the plexiglass back. And I kept looking at that cross and looking at that cross and looking at that cross. And I say, oh, Lord, I want to stand behind this podium before anybody sees me or hears anything I'm saying. I want them to see the cross. I'm going to speak the truth from right here. But I want to speak it without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. Even if it's corrective. Even if it chastises something. It's an act of God's love. Can you say, man? If he didn't love us, he'd let us go. But he loves us too much to let us go. Can you say, man? And I don't want to get over what so many Christians have gotten over. And that is the joy of being loved like that. Can you say, man? You say, Brother Venable, I'm so messed up and I'm so this, I'm so that. Listen, God's love is set on you. God's love is set on you. That's called covenant love. He made a covenant and he said, I don't love you because you're more in number. You don't merit this. You don't earn this. And I don't love you because you're lovable. Because you're a stiff-necked generation. That means hard-headed and hard-hearted. Everybody say hard-headed and hard-hearted. Let me tell you something about your flesh. Your flesh and mine is still hard-headed, stubborn. Can you say, man? It's not quick to forgive, is it? That's why we struggle when we have to forgive. Because the spirit and flesh go into a battle. The flesh says, I don't want to because they don't deserve it. And your spirit says, but you're going to because Jesus said to do it. And I love Jesus. And I want to please him. And I don't want to whip it. Can you say amen? I don't forgive men. The Father won't forgive me. I'm not that perfect. How about you? I need grace. How about you? I need mercy. The throne is a throne of grace and mercy. Can you say amen? That you might obtain grace and mercy to help you. Hallelujah. Amen. First, he's got to accept you there before he can grant anything you petition. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you get mercy, it'll be waiting for you when you get there. Hallelujah. God loves you today. Don't forget the cross. Don't forget him who hung on it. And don't forget it was for you that he died. And begin to just love him back. What kind of love is this that makes me want to jump and shout? You may not be the shouting kind. Amen. Maybe your eyes will tear up. Maybe your heart will just feel something in this service. Amen. But however you feel and sense and begin to experience God's love, love him back for loving you. And you'll have a wonderful relationship with God, and God will have a wonderful servant that he can count on, because love bears all things. Amen. Stuart Driscoll said something about his love relationship, and I've quoted him, but I'd like to quote him exactly. What Works is one of the books that he wrote. What works? What really works when the pressure's on? Stuart Driscoll has a wonderful marriage, a wonderful teaching ministry. They're together. You say, well, so-and-so was so anointed, that's why God broke them up. Honey, if God can break up all the anointed people, then the worst thing you can have is an anointing and be buried. Amen. I mean, if the devil can do that. He can't do it without people cooperating with him. I mean, quit taking up for the old flesh. The flesh is ugly even if you are anointed. So they asked Stuart Driscoll, well, what's the secret of your marriage? What's the secret of your longevity of your ministry? Because he came under the pressures and the marriage came under the pressures. I like what he said. He said, and I quote, "The fact of the matter is that I take refuge in the Lord. Unashamedly, I run to him. In fact, if it were not for the ready access I have to him, not power, but a person, I would never survive the ministry." Oh, how I concur. The pressures would be more than I could take. I hide myself away with him. I crawl into a corner and talk with him. When the pressure is on, I pull the drapes, commune with him. I take refuge in him. Can you say amen? Stuart knows that God's love is set on him. And he knows if I seek him, I'm going to find him. Can you say amen? And he's going to respond to me. Let's stand to our feet today and give God glory. How many's got some room to grow in this length, breadth, depth, height consideration of the love of God? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. The cross is the symbol of God's love. It's been perverted. It's been sold and marketed. It is still the Christian symbol. The fish is a symbol of evangelism. I'll make you fishers of men. But the cross is a symbol that is stronger than any symbol on this planet of the love of God, because it's there that our Savior suffered and died for us. Let's give him praise in this song. Praise God. Hallelujah.